This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. In investing, there's a term called market correlation. What that simply means is that there are certain stocks, certain companies that are correlated to one another, sort of connected to one another. That oil companies, for example, are correlated to one another. That if you own a bunch of gas company stocks and one goes down, more likely than not, those will go down as well. The same can be true, said, for technology or bonds or any of these different areas. That these things are correlated to each other, and so financial advisors will often talk about diversification. The idea that you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket. You shouldn't correlate things too closely to each other because you don't want all of your finances to go down at once. In our scripture reading today, Jesus doesn't want us to correlate our faith to our circumstances. What I mean by that is he wants us to have a faith that is not simply strong in good times, but also can endure difficult times and hardships as well. For example, many people talk about the great blessings that they have in their life. They recognize God's presence in their life by the good things that he has given them. I remember a number of years ago, I was on vacation with my family to a beautiful place, a beautiful island, a place in Florida that was completely picturesque. And I remember going out to dinner and overhearing some people talking to each other and asking each other where they lived. And the one person said, well, I actually live here on this island. The other people that were guests at the restaurant looked at this person and said, wow, you are so lucky. He said, it's not luck, it's a blessing. See, this is just one of many examples. When good things happen in our life, we say that we are blessed by God. But do we have a faith that recognizes God's goodness, not just in good times, but in difficult times as well? You see, if we have a faith that is too closely correlated to our circumstances, it is like having a parachute that only works while we're in an airplane. It's like having a life jacket that only works when we're on dry land. That it looks nice, it seems nice, but when we really need it, it doesn't come through. It doesn't provide us the salvation that we need. And so our scripture reading today is about Jesus wanting us to unhitch our faith from our circumstances. Wanting to have a faith that is not just strong in good times, but in bad times. More than that, having a faith that sustains us in difficult times. And he does this by teaching his disciples and revealing to them an important event that is going to happen in the future. In our scripture reading today, Jesus and his disciples are touring a place simply known as the temple. Now, if you read the Bible and you study ancient Israel, the original temple was the place where it was believed the Ten Commandments were laid. That it was one of the holiest places in all of the world. It was a place where Jews from all over came to worship and pray. But a foreign army came and invaded this area and destroyed this temple. And when the Israelites were able to regain control of it, a king named Herod decided to build a brand new temple, bigger and better than ever. It wasn't just one building, it was many buildings. In fact, 38 acres in all of beautiful buildings and paintings and structures. Stones that were bigger than anyone could lift. Buildings that were taller than any building in the world. And it took 80 years to complete the temple. And Jesus and his disciples were walking through these buildings. And the disciples were pointing out and speaking about how great and how wonderful these buildings were, how great it was that God was here in such a beautiful place. Jesus pops their bubble when he says that the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. Jesus is predicting an event that will happen in the future. In 40 years, in fact, when the Roman army would come and invade this area and completely destroy and wipe out every single building and temple and structure that they believed so closely in. This was a great shock to the disciples because to them, the temple was more than beautiful buildings. The temple was more than ancient structures. The temple was the place where God resided. And they believed that if the temple was destroyed, God himself would be destroyed as well. Jesus goes on to talk about more bad news, more bad things that will happen in the future. Jesus says that there will be wars and insurrections, that nation will rise against nation, that there will be famines and plagues, that believers and followers of Jesus will be arrested and persecuted, that families even will turn against one another, that parents and siblings would betray one another. Jesus says all these things not because he wants to be a Debbie Downer. Jesus says all these things to reveal to us a truth that many of us already know and live, that life is sometimes hard. Life is sometimes difficult. And if we have a faith that is only ready to thank God, to pray to God, to reach out to God in good circumstances, we have a faith that is flimsy. We have a faith that is weak. You see, God is so much bigger than the good times, but God provides for us in the difficult times as well. See, I mentioned before that it's very easy for us as Christians to readily see and identify God in the good things we have, in the blessings we have. But if God is faithful to us, not just in good times, but also in difficult times as well, the question then becomes, how do we see God working in the difficult seasons in our life? How do we see God providing for us, not just in the good times, but in the difficult seasons as well? Over the years, my wife and I have watched a lot of a channel called HGTV. And HGTV is a channel that shows homes and people buying homes. But one of the things it also shows is people rehabbing homes. And I am not handy myself, so I'm always in awe of people who can go into houses that are run down, worn out, and completely restore them, completely change them. People who can take things that are broken, people who can take things that seem hopeless and restore them, not necessarily to their original glory, but to something so much greater and better. I share that with you because I think that's what we as Christians need to understand, that God is the great restorer, that God is a God who is up to something bigger than what we currently see, bigger than our current circumstances, bigger than our current setbacks and sufferings. You see, Jesus wanted to simply say all these things, not because he wanted the disciples to hear a bunch of bad news, but actually Jesus wanted them to understand a piece of good news. Jesus wanted them to understand that God would no longer reside in a building. God would no longer reside in a temple. But God would now reside in the hearts and the minds of all who believed in him, all who trusted him, and all who followed him. That God was going to die on the cross, but the death would not be the end. God was going to rise again and give, through his resurrection, the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that God would no longer be tied to a place and a time, but God would be in the hearts and the minds of all believers who trust in him. And when you put your trust and your faith in God, God promises to work in and through you, to continue to renew you and renew your life. But here's the thing that we have to understand. Here's the difficult news that makes it hard for some of us to see God working in our life. is that God is not always going to work in the ways that you want. God is not always going to work in the ways that you understand. And that God is not necessarily going to restore what you once had, but God is going to do a new thing, a thing that you can't always perceive. That's where faith and trust come in. So I'm a child of the 80s and 90s. And what that means is I grew up in the 80s and 90s. And so my childhood is defined by some very, very specific movies. Movies like the Home Alone movies. Movies like the Back to the Future movies. But the movie that defined my childhood more than any other movie were the Karate Kid movies. I was so obsessed with these Karate Kid movies that I even took karate lessons many, many years because I wanted to be like the main character in those movies. And in those movies, there is a character named Mr. Miyagi. And Mr. Miyagi is this wise old man who is not only wise and old, but also knows karate really, really well. And because Daniel is getting bullied by many different people at school, he goes to Mr. Miyagi to learn how to do karate. But much to his disappointment, when Daniel first learns how to do karate, Mr. Miyagi does not have him do karate. Mr. Miyagi has him wax his car. You remember that, right? Wax on, wax off. He has him paint the fence, paint up and paint down. He has him do these menial tasks like sanding his deck, all these things that seem like Daniel is just sort of going through the motions. He's not learning or growing or becoming closer to being a master in karate. And finally, in frustration, Daniel decides to quit. He decides to leave Mr. Miyagi forever. Until Mr. Miyagi reveals in a pivotal scene in the movie that all of those motions that he was having Daniel do, waxing the car, painting the fence, were actually karate moves that he was strengthening by doing these repetitive motions over and over again. And he reveals to him in this pivotal moment that in all these moments that he thought that Mr. Miyagi was not helping him, Mr. Miyagi was not supporting him, in fact, Mr. Miyagi was working in him to create him in a way that he never could anticipate. I share that story with you because when we put our faith in God, God works in our life the same way. You see, we always want to see where God is. We always want to see where God is working, but the truth of the matter is we can't. Because if we understood everything that God was doing, if we understood every way that God was working in our life, you know what that would tell us? That we're as smart as God, that we know as much as God, that we understand as much as God. But one of the things that believing and worshiping in a God teaches us is that God is much more wiser and capable and understanding than we are. And that there are going to be certain moments and situations in our life where we see God working, where we see the Holy Spirit in our midst, and there are going to be other situations and circumstance in our life where we feel like we are like Daniel and the Karate Kid, where we feel like we are just going through the motions, where we feel like we're on our own, that what we do doesn't matter. But Jesus wants us to trust in him. When it feels like we are going through the motions, Jesus wants us to keep going through the motions, to continue to be his disciple, continue to walk in his word and his truth. Jesus says in our gospel reading today, by your endurance, you will gain your souls. You see, when we commit to gaining physical endurance, when we commit to growing in our health by doing a new exercise thing, it doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't happen right away. We don't instantly go from being unhealthy to healthy. It happens over time. And God works in our life the same way. God works in our life over time in the same way. See, I often say that faith makes a lot more sense looking backwards than it does looking forwards. Faith makes a lot more sense when we look back at all the ways that we see God has worked in our life, and it's difficult to see how God will work in our life, but God will, because God is faithful. And while the disciples were disappointed that these buildings were coming down, little did they know that Jesus was working in and through their life and the world to create something so much better, so much more permanent, that nothing or no one could take away from them. God is doing a new thing in you too. So continue on in faith and trust Him. Trust that God is bigger than you. Trust that God is bigger than your disappointments, and trust that God will do a new thing in your life now and for all eternity. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder and this scripture reading, what it means to be faith, have faith. That faith is not about what we see, but faith is about what you can see. And faith is about putting our trust in you. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at @GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.